And march on to a big win here. Top of the table. They'll keep that spot as Keys goes inside forward 50. Tackled immediately was Sloan. Murphy trying to run into the footy. Schomburg trying to get over the top to Rowe. Dale getting in his path, trying to track this one towards the boundary line. McHenry spins him in the tackle, and then Bailey Williams is taken over the boundary line as the Crows are deep right next to that right point post. We'll have a toss back in. So last rights here. Cordy, front position on Walker. And the pack will form here. Dale trying to feed a little handball out, taken by Bailey Smith, who's had a good day numbers-wise. He tumbles the ball towards the wing. Mark taken here by Brodie Smith. Dogs will be top of the table. They'll keep that spot. Another win for them in Ballarat. They get it done in convincing, emphatic fashion. 15-15-105. The horns at full tilt now. The Crows, have a listen to them. 8-8-56. Dogs get it done.
So proper provincial football. They're locked outside the Cyclone gates at Muzz, but they found a way to be part of its varying fans in the Ballarat area. The Dogs led it pretty much all day after conceding the first couple of goals. They led it every change at least. 12 at quarter time, 35 and at half and three-quarter time, and 49 at the close. The final score, 15-15, 105 to the Crows, 8-8. 56. A spread of goal kickers, two for Bruce Ugelhagen and Johannesson. There were singles to Bontempelli, Hunter, Waitman, Liberatore, Dale, Norton, Daniel, Garcia and English. Well, for the Crows, two each for Taylor Walker and Elliot Himmelberg. And there's one for Murphy, Lynch, Rowe and Fogarty. 49 points, the Dogs. They move to 60 points on the table. So 15 wins and 4 losses with 3 to play for the Dogs. 49-point winners over the Crows. What do you think, Justin Leppich?
Well, it probably shows where both teams are at. I thought it was a really great contested game, and I think it shows that the Western Bulldogs are a great contested team, but they're also a great team on the outside in the spread. Their hands are elite. Adelaide, to me, are really, I call them, they're a try-hard team. They do try their best through most of the game, but they do lack the class. Anytime. And we sort of loathed a little bit throughout the game where they weren't trying to take the game on. But in the last quarter, they tried to by hands, and they mucked them both up for an automatic goal back the other way. So whenever people say to coaches, geez, take the game on some more, and the minute you try and do it, that's when the mistakes start to happen. So they're playing that fine balance at the moment because they don't have the experience or class of the teams around them. So they'll need another off-season of practice and training and getting more connection within their group because they're just not quite got that part. But their effort's good, I think, with Adelaide. But definitely not up to the standard of a team like the Western Bulldogs.
49-point winners, the Dogs, around the grounds for Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. Late in the third term in Hobart, it's the Cats by 11 points. 6-11-47 to North Melbourne, 5-6-36. And Luke Beveridge is standing in the back of the coach's box. He's having a look at the sheets. He'll be thinking about how he feels about it all. A 49-point win. And what would he... He's got a lot... You make a lovely point. He's got a lot of moving parts. He's got a lot of decisions. Yep. And he's a moving parts coach.
Yes.
It doesn't scare him. In fact, he's moving most of the parts to have it fluid. He's got a set of decisions that are looming 3 weeks away. And I guess a lot of this is just assessing each one. Okay, even the move of Anthony Scott from forward to back later in the season.
Yeah.
So he's trying a whole lot of different things at the moment.
And that's what I think is a good thing about Bevo. Some people say coming in and out of the team can create a little bit of inconsistency, which it can at times, but it's finding that right balance between finding what your best team looks like. And they're doing that. Obviously, Shacky's going to have to play this role for a few weeks. There's 3 or 4 weeks before Keith is back in this team. So pretty much right on finals. Same with Steph Martin. So that's going to be his big decision. Do I have a Keith that comes off 4 weeks directly straight back into a final? A Steph Martin straight off a long... layoff straight into a big final. So he's got that's going to be come when their big decisions are going to make. So all these boys just have to build evidence through that time. So again, Treloar may be back this week, maybe the next coming. Dreyer rested, be back in the team. So yeah, so it's going to be a really difficult time for him. But they're good problems to have, as coaches would say, is picking a team because good players are coming back in.
And I think that's his creative way. He clearly likes it.
Yeah.
He clearly draws on it. It's a dynamic that he likes within his player group. It challenges his coaching mind.
Yep.
And he might... So there's this notion as it's time for the Bulldogs to settle. He's not settling.
He's not a settler. He's a fiddler. He's not a settler. So what I mean by that in the greatest respect is the fact that he'll trial things. He's not scared to trial things. Go, you were okay. Most coaches that go, you know what, I'm going to stick with you this week, mate.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to support you and give you everything I can. He'll just go, oh, no, go back to the VFL. We'll try someone else.
Yep.
He's happy to do it.
Yep.
Here's the Dogs in the rooms. Time this season, the Dogs are top of the table. They'll be there at the end of round 20. It's just going to be an eventful round 20. It's a stacked day tomorrow. Didn't need a lot from Bontempelli today, so that's a nice aspect.
Yep.
It also means for a bit of Brownlow forecasting, though, that there are no votes today. So we think it's going to be a tight count, and Walsh was super last night. So for Bontempelli, this is going to be a no-vote round.
Well, he plays best with electric ball movement, and a sort of a slow repeat stoppage sort of day isn't what the Bont is built for most of the time. If there was the odd breakaway that'd suit him, but there wasn't even much of that today. So, you know, it's funny with footy, isn't it? You think as good a player as Marcus Bontempelli is, it just even a day like this couldn't suit even as good a player as him. So, ugly old day, ugly old result. But I think if you're a Doggy supporter, you take it.
So, every team, Leper, we keep all year, you know, we talked about Melbourne, then we sing the praises of Geelong, then we sing the praises of the Bulldogs, and we talk about their strengths, and they've all got their little issues to sort out. So none of them are totally perfect, whether it's Geelong trying to sort out their ruck stocks, Bulldogs down back, are they going to be strong enough? And Melbourne just, you know, ball movement and the forward 50 sort of setup. Who's in the best spot, do you think, out of those three that could cover a weakness better than the others?
I don't know, to be perfect. I actually think they all play, and we spoke about this a little bit on Tuesday, Jared, about they all play different styles to me.
Yep.
The Bulldogs are so dynamic around the ball, and they're going to add to that when Treloar gets back. Melbourne are so strong defensively. They're really hard to crack. But the teams that have cracked them, have, you know, then they can't power back the other way offensively because they can't score as quickly as they can defend.
Mm.
The Doggies have proven if you pressure up and pressure up and pressure up, the teams that have got them, their handball game struggles and they fall away. So everyone, and Geelong, to me, is just a matter of can they get it done at the right time of year, because they tend to have all the parts covered, Geelong, in my opinion, yeah. And they've got great variation in their team and they can change things up quickly. But is that enough on grand final day to blunt the strengths of the other two? So what I'm basically saying is I wouldn't know. You put all that together, one day, who knows, the dynamic veteran team like Geelong could outdo the mass defence of Melbourne, and the high handball game of the Western Bulldogs could flick their way through Geelong and make them look silly and old and all those sorts of things. I couldn't tell you. It'll really depend on the best team on that day that gets the game on their terms for the longest.
Yep.
It's a rather thrilling prospect at the end of the season,
fantastic.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you'd rather go into that than Richmond go, oh, it's going to be Richmond, or maybe something could happen on the day that might fluke it back the other way. You've got three genuine styles that could go any way on any particular day. Mm.
The Dogs by 49 points over the Crows in Ballarat, 15-15-105 to the Crows, 8-8-56. It is three-quarter time in Hobart, Geelong by 11 points. So North Melbourne, dogged as ever, 6-11-47 the Cats, 5-6-36 North Melbourne. It has been an eventful day. The AFL has got all of its teams out of Queensland. A snap lockdown was called just before 11 o'clock. Enough planes to get all the teams out before 4 o'clock, which was the lockdown time. And Melbourne, who were just arriving in Queensland, sat on the tarmac, stayed in the plane and returned to Melbourne. So this is what it's going to look like tomorrow. The early start, 12:10, Gold Coast and Melbourne at Marvel Stadium. 2:10, Hawthorn and Brisbane from Launceston. 3:10, Essendon and Sydney at the MCG. 5:10, Fremantle and Richmond at Optus Stadium, and 6:10, the Giants and Port Adelaide at Marvel Stadium. So a remarkable Sunday in store. The AFL again has done a sterling job to move the troops, militarise at a moment's notice. They've beaten the lockdown. So that's the Sunday of footy. We'll tidy up soon.
That quarter on AFL Nation was for Victoria Police. Victoria Police is recruiting now. Search Police Careers.
By 49 points in Adelaide, 15-15, 105 the Dogs over the Crows, 8-8-56. Early stages of the final term in Hobart. It's Geelong 6-11-47 to North Melbourne 5-6-36. So the Cats by 11. She spent a decent old slog in Hobart. And again, the Kangaroos, they're just proving difficult to shake in the back half of this season, regardless of the opponent that they come up against. Brett Phillips and Justin Lepich, we're going to kick around all our post-game categories. The MEGT Rookie of the Day, your local apprenticeship expert. So run the rule over Jamara Ugel-Hagen, who kicked 2 goals, 1, and dropped as many marks as he took.
Yeah, in different days, isn't it? We had the nine disposals, but as you said, it could have been a so much better day for Jamara, 2 goals, 1. So he's the sort of player that's going to have that 9-disposal, 8-goal game one day, Jamara. You don't see that often in the game. Doesn't look like the huge accumulator. But it took the 5 marks, but as you said, could have taken 8 or 9 and really had a big difference on the game.
MEGT, supporting employers and apprentices for over 40 years.
Lepper, I think this is fairly straightforward. The hanger of the day, hangmytv.com.au, because that is what they do.
Yeah, Josh Bruce has to be the one in the goal square, the sideways hanger, which is a really, really good. We don't see that one all too often in the modern day game, given the packs of players that are around, but a nice little one-on-one hanger.
Hasn't it been a great year for marks?
Yes. Incredible. It has.
It's a deep field. It is about 15 of them to squeeze into three. There's the four sort of iconic, but the underclass is so strong as well.
Yep.
That was a terrific grab. There's a three-dog race for the goal of the game. Instant Windscreens, broken windscreen. Call Instant Windscreens 132-444. So Caleb Daniel.
Yep.
Riley Garcia and Marcus Bontempelli late.
I think I might go with Caleb.
Yep.
Yeah, keep him there.
Caleb Daniel.
Of course, BP is. He's a star.
Wins the goal of the game.
33 good touches today. It was one blemish, just one.
One blemish.
Didn't quite hit the target.
Trying to influence the voters again.
32 were pretty good. All right, the tackle of the game, Matt Lepper for Toro for the home ground advantage. Count on Toro.
Oh, the McPherson tackle, the rundown tackle, which it looked like it hurt Norton for a little second there, but he got up and played out the game. But, that was definitely a goal saver.
Toro, you can count on it.
Bendix breaks, big moments, confidence stopping. Bendix breaks.
Oh, was it the out of bounds on the full number? That has to be close to the big moment today. I think it was 15 in the end. It was craziness. Yeah. But that's all right. Whenever you play those wide open venues that you don't play at all that often, it can happen.
And we are up to one player you can count on today. For one, a B you can count on, Lepper.
Yeah. I'd like to go Rory Sloane. I think he's the one. We spoke about him in half time. You know, he doesn't get a lot of bang for buck with his disposal. A lot of it's inside. You don't see a lot of it on the outside, and it's not flashy. But 26 disposals, he's always working hard for the Crows.
It's come off with the busted nose.
Yes,
back on pretty quick, smart. Taking a few to that area.
The sustained performer for Host Plus, we go with you. Just rack them up week after week.
I'm thinking Tom Liberatore in that role. He's very similar to Rory Sloane as far as those two. They go butted head-to-head a lot today. But 25 disposals and most of those inside clearance type numbers. He had 6 clearances for the day. So, yeah, he's always that player that gets the doggies up and going.
Host Plus, official superannuation partner of the AFL.
Toughest player for Happy Tint. Happy Tint your home, your office, your car. Can't go wrong at happytint.com.au.
Well, the toughest player. Would we have to say maybe Riley O'Brien? I thought he was pretty tough for the Adelaide Crows.
He was in those huge packs all day because they decided their whole strategy was to kick it to him in contested scenarios.
Yeah, and the opposition kicked it back to him too as much. Yes. So he had a really big day in the contest, I thought.
44
hit-outs. So there, he dominated the aerial part of the game as well.
The unmissable moment for Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise. So this was a bit unusual. Mm. Jake Kelly sort of got himself into a bit of a bind and he went to hurdle a teammate.
Yeah.
And he ended up kicking it as he went past. And that meant that
he kicked butts.
Kelly kicked butts.
Kelly yes, kicked butts. So, which is what we all want to do every time we play.
Injury wrap for Sudox Active Muscular and Joint Pain Relief Cream. Follow the directions for use. Chase Jones ended up with a heavily strapped right thigh. The ice pack applied. Yep. He was subbed out of the game and McKay got a bit of a run.
He did. Leopard, we need some votes and some numbers for Safety Steel Sheds. Designed to save, built to last.
We'll go to the votes. There's obviously quite a few players on a similar level probably today, so it was difficult to separate by a number. But the guys that did miss out, McRae was really good. For the Doggies, Libber. Smith was really good as well. He just missed out Bailey Smith on the votes. But I wasn't influenced at all by the panel members today. But one vote today is Riley O'Brien. 44 hit-outs, 19 disposals. And obviously huge as far as aerially today. For the Crows, he's probably the best player aerially on the game, so he deserved to get a vote, even though they were lost the game by a fair margin. Bailey Dale is one for me. I thought he's 31 disposals. He ended up kicking a goal from running from halfback, but he played a really important role, I thought, for the Doggies today. And under no influence at all, Caleb Daniel, 33 disposals, 5 clearances and a goal. BP for you.
Yeah.
The little man gets the big votes today. He was terrific.
3 to Daniel, 2 to Dale, 1 to O'Brien. I'll just give you the full statistical picture of the match. The disposal count, the Dogs 372 to 331. The inside 50s were 65 to 40. Disposal efficiency, the Dogs 74% to 69 from the Crows. The free kicks neatly split 20 apiece. The hit-outs, the Crows 49 to 36. The clearances, the Dogs way 44 to 35. But the centre clearances, which you referenced a few times, Lepper, were 17 to 8 in the Crows' favour. The contested possession count, dead level at 142 apiece. The marks, the Dogs 85 to 68. The marks inside 50s, the Dogs way 17 to 8. The contested marks, the Crows 17 to 16. The tackles, 69-58 in the Dogs' favour. And that is the tale of the tape from a statistical point of view. The ladder, the Dogs 60 points and 142%. The ladder for 40 winks. Any size mattresses is the price of a single at 40 winks. The Cats are 56. They have a 18-point lead with 13 minutes to play. So they have the chance to stay with the Dogs. Their percentage is 10 points adrift. Melbourne's on 54. And then Port Adelaide round out the top four on 52. A shout out for Ringers Western from a Kimberley cattle station to the commentary box, ringerswestern.com. That's pretty much our day, really. Started in all manner of chaos as Queensland called lockdown. Everyone's been relocated to Melbourne and a super Sunday instead of a super Saturday. So all that's left today is the Twilight game, which is at the MCG, Collingwood and West Coast. Shannon Hearn in his 300th game, the first Eagle to get there, Leper.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's terrific effort. He's been a really good player, great stalwart for them. It's amazing to think West Coast haven't had a 300-game player with all their stars they've had over, what's that now, is it 30-year period? They've been in the competition longer.
Yep.
35-year period. So, good on him. Well done. He's been a terrific terrific play for the Eagles.
Got to get that one done, don't they? Simple as that.
Yeah, just and Mark Murphy's obviously, Carlton look like they're committed to push him along to that milestone soon, so that'll be a couple of weeks away.
So that's been Saturday afternoon football. The Dogs 15-15, 105 over the Crows, 8-8-56. And the latter stages, still 12 minutes to go in Hobart, and North Melbourne making Geelong earn it. It's an 18-point lead the Cats way, 7-12. To 5-6. This has been the AFL Nation post-game show for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. We're going to relive some of the best moments from Ballarat this afternoon, where the highlight was clearly the honking of horns from the locals who came and surrounded the fences. It was a lockout, but it had the lovely feel of provincial football, and it serves the Dogs' purposes well. A 49-point win to retain their place at the top of the table.
So Himmelberg to have a shot here from 35. He can come around and open up the angle a little bit on that right boot. Gets nice curl on that and a good start. Now to Lynch. He's going to kick on the outside of his boot in the end. Wail from Walker, but it's rolled through for a goal. Libba gets to the front of the pack. He can straighten up Liberatore on the left boot and he drills it home. So Josh Bruce, a couple of steps out to the left and he drills it through the middle.
Tex cleared the way. Row at the back. Ghosted through. Snapped it high and kicked the goal. Hugelhagen opens up the angle and screws it through for a goal.
Towards the goal square. Bruce flew and he hung on to it. Josh Bruce with a regulation finish in front of goal here and the Dogs land their four. Tight angle for Johannesson, puts the afterburners on, hooks it on the right boot for a goal.
So Fogarty on approach to goal. He lets fly from 40 metres out. He gave it everything he had and he rode the wind beautifully.
Aaron Norton, just a couple of steps and he sends it over the goal umpire's head and the Dogs kick their six.
There are cars parked out on the road.
Honking for really a goal. Left of centre, ever so slightly. Close in. English drills it through for the goal. 30 metres out. He prods it through. It's the Dogs who stretch the lead to 27 points. Hugelhagen's kicked his second goal.
Right foot snap from Caleb Daniel. How about that? Brilliant start. The Dogs will get the opening shot at goal to start the second half to Johannesson. He'll start this one, a little bit left to right. He worked it back. It sneaks in.
So a quarter and a half without a goal for the Crows. Elliot Himmelberg, close in. He's kicking for his second, and he squeezes it in. He didn't leave much margin for error, but through she goes.
Montepelli in vicinity. Garcia as well. He can straighten up on the right. Garcia has a ping. It's a good ping. Right through the middle.
Fly from all angles underneath. McHenry tried to run in. Tex got hold of it and snapped the goal. It's been a tough day for Taylor Walker, but he gets one in the final turn.
Himmelberg trying to climb from behind. Murphy was in a great spot to crumb. Can he curl it back on the left? That is a ripper. Great goal from Lockie Murphy.
Lockie Hunter with most of his disposals, kicking it in after it's gone out on the full. This is a shot of goal in the right forward pockets. Measured up the angles, plenty of daylight between the posts, and he has worked the breeze perfectly. Fans up on the cyclone fence, taking photos of Michanin close up. Dogs break it away from the stoppage. They're able to kick it right to full forward and bounce it through for a goal.
Bontempelli from 50. Bontempelli for a little bit of cream on top. So Waitman here, little gift for him, directly in front, steers it through. So Cody Waitman joins a long list of goal kickers for the Western Bulldogs today.
Tex stabs through his second goal of the final term.
The Dogs will be top of the table. They'll keep that spot. Another win for them in Ballarat. They get it done in convincing, emphatic fashion. 15-15-105. The horns at full tilt now. The Crows, have a listen to them. 8-8-56.